Father, we come before you once more this morning. We thank you so much for the privilege and the honor that you have given me to impart into the life of these, your precious treasure. Grant unto us this morning the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. Cause the eyes of our heart to be flooded with light. Continue to reveal the essence of who you are to us. Holy Spirit, you are the great teacher. I ask you to cause a revelation knowledge to erupt within me. May it burst forth like rivers of living waters into the hearts, the life, the mind of these your precious people. Fill my mouth with wisdom and my mind with understanding. Father, I ask you once more to glorify yourself in this place. We give you all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Turn to your neighbor. Say this to them. God loves you. With his undying, never failing, unconditional love. And he wants to do you good and make you happy. Point to yourself. Say, I am the crown of God's creation. The apple of his eye. Marked by his love. And the focus of all his affection. Lord, you have never quit loving me and never will. According to your word, I can expect love, love, and more love in Jesus' name. See, that is the focus. That's the focus of God's heart, is for us to know how much he loves us. So this morning we're going to talk about the woman whom Jesus loved. The woman whom Jesus loved. I had a whole different message that I sent off to Christina, and Friday morning, I just sensed in my spirit that God wanted me to affirm woman on this day. And so I jumped up out my bed and wrote out another message. I text Christina, okay, I know I sent you my message already, could I send you something else? And she said it was okay, so God gave me another word. So this part, we're going to be talking about favored woman. And we're going to go to, turn your Bibles, if you will. I'm going to be sharing from the New Living and the Message Translation. And then the New Living Translation in Luke chapter 1 and verse 26 to 38. This is the angel Gabriel coming and talking to Mary in verse 26. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel, the angel Gabriel. I looked up that word Gabriel, it means a man of God. So it's an angel, but it could be Pastor Carlton or myself that God sent to give your word to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman. Oh, I like that right there. Greetings, favored woman. When I titled it, The Woman That Jesus Loved, because I know it's Mother's Day, but I didn't want this. This is not just for mother. This is for all women. And man, if you feel left out, notice, woman. So you're in that too. Okay? So he said, greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. That's good news right there. And that's for everybody, because God is no respecter of person. I'm here to tell you today that the Lord is with you. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid. So when God asks you to do something, or when God gives you a vision and it seems like impossible, God always asks us to do the impossible, because it's not about what we can do for God, what God can do for us. See, the best thing you can do is to embrace what God does for you. It's not what we can do for God. You know, Pastor Carlton always share, he grew up where he was on the treadmill of performance, every day, every time the church door opened, performing, trying to please God. No, the best way you could please God is to embrace what God has done for you, because he'll always ask you to do something that's beyond your ability. I said, God will always ask you to do something that's beyond your ability. So he's sending an angel to this woman now, Mary, and he said, you have found favor. The Lord is with you. So he's in verse 30, he said, don't be afraid, the angel told Mary, for you have found favor with God. Don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. Verse 31. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. Look at verse 34. Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I am a virgin. The King James said, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? Well, you know, when God asks you to do something, it's not who you know, it's who knows you. It's not who you know, it's who knows you, and God knows you. Before you were formed, you know, he said to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you came out of your mother's belly, I set you apart to be a prophet to the nation. You know what Jeremiah said? Lord, I can't speak. Behold, I'm a child. Lord, you know, how can this be? I'm a virgin. I've never been with a man. You know what God said to Jeremiah? Don't say that, because you'll go where I tell you to go, and you'll say what I command you to say. And he reached out and touched his mouth and said, behold, this day I put my word in your mouth. So God, before you were formed, woman, lady, man, before you were formed into the womb, God knew you. You came from God. You are not the invention of your parent. I know biologically and everything you would think that, no, but you were with God before you were in your parent. He said it to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So there's a you inside of you that was with God before you came inside of you. Do you understand that? This is just an earth suit. This is not me. This is my clothes. And this covers our physical body while we're here on the earth. If you go to the moon, you would need what? A space suit. So in order for us to operate in this earth, we need an earth suit. And the flesh is your earth suit. It's not who you really are. But we all need one of these. It's like when you came here this morning, you got into a what? A car, some kind of transportation that transported you from your home to your destination here. You get in it for work, and you get in it to go to the grocery store, because it's a vehicle that takes you from one place to the next. In the earth, in order to access and move around in this earth, your earth suit is the vehicle that you're in that transports you back and forth and caused me to be up here preaching to you this morning. It's a vehicle. But there's a you inside of you. The treasure is in the earthen vessel. And that's what God's focus is. God's focus is on the you inside of you. So she was confused, and she said, you know, how can this happen? I'm a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. Now, when God asks you to do something, like I said before, he'll always ask you to do something that he knows it is not in your ability to do. And when you say, Lord, how am I going to do this? He's going to say, the Holy Spirit going to come up on you and empower you. That's why we have to get off the treadmill of performance. I said it before, Pastor Carlton said it before. None of us can live this successful Christian life. So you're going to save us, and you're going to ask us to live in this earth sin-free. You're going to ask us to love unconditionally. You're going to ask us to bless. How can this be? We're flaky. He said, the Holy Spirit going to come upon you and overpower you, and I'm going to equip you to do what I've called you to do. You see that? And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. What more? Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. Look at this. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her 6th month. So it doesn't matter what people used to say about you. It's what God is now saying about you. Now are we the sons of God. You are blessed. You are holy. You are blameless. You have been called by God for such a time as this. So it doesn't matter what people used to say about you. Is what God says about you that's all that matters. So listen, so this is what I want you to say, like Mary. Mary responds, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left. So now Mary realized that it's no way. I'm a virgin. I've never been with a man. So how this going to happen? How this going to take place? God said the Holy Spirit is going to do it. So this is Mary. And I want you to see the same thing when God is speaking to you and you say, Lord, how, you know, you ever been in a situation before? I know we all have. How, Lord, how are we going to do this? The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and work through you. This is what your answer should be. May everything that you say, Lord, be fulfilled. Be it unto me according to your word. So, we're going to look now at John chapter 4. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and he had to pass through Samaria. This is John chapter 4. And verse 7, a woman, his disciples, they went out to get lunch. It's a woman, a Samaritan, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. This is the Message translation I'm reading from. Jesus said, would you give me a drink of water? His disciples, they had went to get lunch. The Samaritan woman, verse 9, the Samaritan woman, taken back, asked, how comes you, a Jew, are asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? Jews in those days wouldn't be caught dead talking to a Samaritan woman. You know, prejudice, racial tension, that didn't start today. That's been way back. Samaritan, I believe they're Syrian and Jews mixed together. And so the Jews would call them dog. And so when Jesus, being a Jew, she could tell he's a Jew, he asked for some water, and she was like, wow. Notice the time of day, this is the thing about it. The time of day is very important. The woman came, it was lunchtime because the disciples went to get lunch. Why? People usually go to the well early in the morning to draw water when it's cool. But it's something you're going to see about this woman that when she come out, everybody would snicker. You know, a small town, even today, even when people come to our church, that's what we got to be careful. It's like we feel a certain way about ourselves. We commend ourselves for good intention and good behavior, but we condemn others. Even if we don't say anything, the way we look at them is like, can't believe it. Like, you understand? So she waited until everybody was gone. So she didn't expect to see no one out there. But Jesus, being God, knew exactly what he was doing. He came at the right time. So in verse 12, the woman says, in verse 10, Jesus answered. Let's go back to verse 9. She said, she was taken back and asked, how comes you, being a Jew, asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? Jesus answered, if you knew, I love this. Okay, I love this, so I'm going to have to calm down. If you knew the generosity of God and who I am, you would be asking me for a drink, and I would give you fresh living water. Verse 11, the woman said, sir, you don't have a bucket to draw with, and this well is deep. So how are you going to give me living water? Listen to her. Are you better than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well and drank from it, he and his son and livestock, and passed it down to us? Verse 13 and 14. Jesus says, everyone who drinks this water will get thirsty again and again. And anyone who drink the water I will give will never thirst, not ever. The water I give will be an artesian spring within, a gushing fountain of endless life. I looked up that word artesian. Now, it's something I want to show you in this. Jesus is talking, number one, to a Samaritan woman. Number two, we're going to see some things about this woman that in the natural, a Jew wouldn't be caught. Number one, a Jew wouldn't be caught dead talking to her. But Jesus is offering her something. He said, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew the generosity of God, you would ask me and I would give you this living water that like an artesian well, it would spring up out of you. So I went and I Googled that word artesian well. It's a well that is pressurized. It comes from the earth, but it comes up with such force. So, I start seeing some things. Wait a minute. He was really talking about the Holy Spirit. And he is saying something that I always said, and I always thought, Pastor Carlton, that the Holy Spirit came and downloaded. I thought it was a download. The Holy Spirit downloaded the love of God, where it says the Holy Spirit been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost in Romans 5:5. And I thought he downloaded his love in us. And just my recent study and digging and researching the Word, I realized that it's not a download, it's a reboot. It's a total difference. When you download a software, you're adding, you're transferring information from one place into the computer. When you reboot, you're restarting something that was already there. Right. Amen. Jesus is talking to this woman, and he's talking about an artesian well. When you look at another translation, this is the Message translation, but the Mirror translation also use that word in John in Romans 5:5. So the treasure is already in the vessel. It's not something that comes from the outside in. It's something that was created in it when the vessel was created, the treasure was created in it. I'm going to say that. When the vessel was created, the treasure was created in the vessel. Even though the vessel got murky and dirty, the treasure was still there. Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God is like a man that found an agricultural field, and he found treasure in the field. And he went and sold everything he had and came back and purchased the field. Why he purchased the field? Was the field like a golf-cut grass? It doesn't matter how rocky. It doesn't matter what's murky. It doesn't matter what's in the field. What he found in the field was the treasure in the field. And he thought it was so special that he went and sold everything he had. Okay, it's like God knew mankind. We were all like sheep going astray, right? Messed up, right? God saw treasure in you. Woman, ladies, God saw a treasure in you before he formed you in the womb. And he went, who shall I send? Who shall go for me? Jesus left the glory of heaven to come and purchase the field with the treasure in it. He didn't come to put the treasure there. He found the treasure there and came and purchased the field. That's good stuff. That's good news. Not a good prediction. I'm not telling you, when you cross all your T and you dot all your I, then God's presence and Christ is... No. He said to Jeremiah, before I formed you, I knew you. Before you came out your mother's belly, I had a call in you to be a prophet. Wait, Lord, shouldn't I do all the right stuff, repent, get my life together before you ignite such a gift on the inside of me? It's always there. I'm trying to, what Jesus came to do is like when he was on the road to Emmaus with the disciples, when he finally revealed himself to them, you know what they say? Did not our heart burn within us? Something ignited their heart when they were walking with Jesus and they had a metanoia. It finally came to their senses that this is him. It's like the prodigal son came to his... See, this is where the mistake and the mess up is the lie that we believe about ourselves. Many of you in here have children. no matter what your child goes through, if you're a good parent, if you're a half-decent parent, you'll still put that child on your will. You may be disappointed in something that they're doing, but if they come to you in need, there's a love that's embedded on the inside of you for that child that will not turn them away. Are we better than God? You will never disqualify your child from their inheritance. Not if you're a half-decent parent. I'm going to leave that right there. I want you to think about that. So, in verse 16 now, he said, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she said. That's nicely put. "I have no husband. You have had five husbands, and the man you're living with now isn't even your husband." You spoke the truth there, sure enough. Now look at Jesus. You figure, Pastor Carlton, you figure, preacher, it's time to preach on fornication and you need to stop shacking up on adultery. Wouldn't you feel like, I mean, most preachers would like found that somebody in the congregation is doing that and he make a Sunday service, he make a Sunday sermon out of it. It's a lot of people in there shacking up and it's a lot of people. I want you to see the compassion of Jesus. I want you to see how him deal with it. He said, "That's nicely put. You have no husband. You have had five husbands and the man you're living with now isn't even yours. You spoke the truth. You spoke the truth there, sure enough." She said, "Oh, so you're a prophet. Well, tell me, our ancestors worship God at this mountain. But you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place to worship, right? Believe me, woman," verse 21, "believe me, woman, the time is coming when you Samaritan will worship the Father neither here at this mountain, nor there in Jerusalem. You worship guessing in the dark. We Jews worship in the clear light of day. God's way of salvation is made available through the Jews. But the time is coming. It has in fact come. When what you are called will not matter, and where you go to worship will not matter." Jesus said the time is coming that no matter what people think about you, no matter what you're called or where you worship, won't matter. What time? He said the time is coming and is in fact here. When you get a revelation of Jesus, when we get a revelation of Jesus, when the Spirit of God ignites that reality on the inside of us, it's going to transform your life completely. Wow. He said, verse 23 says, "It is who you are and the way you live that counts before God. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth." Now, you can't separate truth from grace. So this is true worship. When your spirit is engaged in the pursuit of God's grace and God's love, that's worship. It's not so much you standing up and, "Lord, I worship you." If you could be, "Lord, I worship you," but if your mentality is still gripped with legalism and under the law, that's not true worship. He said true worship is when your heart is engaged in the pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people the Father is out looking for. Those who are simply and honestly themselves before Him in their worship. God is sheer being itself, spirit. Those who worship Him must do it out of their very being, their spirit, their true self in adoration. I mean, I can't, beloved, Everybody worship God in their own way. I'm not going to dictate to you or tell you there is a special rule of how to worship God. As long as your heart is pursuing truth and grace. And only God on the inside knows. I don't know that. No man know what's in the heart of a man but that spirit, but the spirit of the man. That's good. Okay? So the woman said, I don't know about all that. I do know that the Messiah is coming. When he arrives, listen to this, we will get the whole story. Jesus came to give us the whole story. He came, he brought grace and truth to the earth. He came to reveal our oneness in God. He came to remind us what manner of man we are by design and let us know that you are the image and the likeness of God, that you are the life of God in flesh. The Bible said when he came, the woman said, when he come, he'll tell us all the truth. Hallelujah. Now listen to what Jesus said in verse 26. I am he, says Jesus. You don't have to wait any longer or look any further. Jesus said, I'm right here. Beloved, distance and delay is canceled out. You don't have to wait to get to heaven. You don't have to wait any longer. You don't have to wait to get blessed. Now is the day of salvation. Now are we the sons of God. You are holy, blameless. You are one with him now. You don't have to wait any longer or go any further. Jesus said, I am. I am he. What you're looking for, you worship in the dark. Now you worship in the light of day. I am the incarnate. I am God in flesh, come to reveal who you are by design. Wow. Wow. Now listen to this. Verse 27. Just then, now listen to this. Listen to this. Verse 27, just then the disciples came back. They were shocked. Look, this is religion now. This is religion. They were shocked. They couldn't believe he was talking with that kind of woman. No one said what they were thinking, but their face showed it. This is Jesus' disciples. You know, the woman came out at the right time. She was at the right place. What about Rahab? She's the prostitute that hid the spies out when they went to invade Canaan. She's in Jesus' genealogy. What about Ruth? People say, oh, Ruth is a good woman. Ruth is a Moabite. Who is a Moabite? Remember when Lot came out of Sodom and Gomorrah with his two daughters? They went up in the cave, and the older daughter of Lot said to the younger sister, let us get our father drunk because there's no man here. Let us get him drunk, and I will sleep with him tonight. And then tomorrow night, we'll get him drunk again, and you sleep with him so we could raise up offspring. So they got him drunk, and the Bible says Lot didn't know when he lied down or when they got up. So the older daughter, when she got pregnant, she gave her son name Moab, which is the father of the Moabite. Ruth came out of that incest. She's in the genealogy of Jesus. Bathsheba is the woman that David committed adultery with. God could have found any other woman to put in the lineage, but he chose those five so we could see his amazing grace. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what your background, what you've been involved in. You are chosen, favored, and loved by God, and he wants to use you in an amazing way. Amen. Now we look at Mary. We look at Mary. Mary, she's a nice little virgin girl, but she was found to be pregnant before she got married, and it was not her husband's job. Now, in that day, now you probably could do it and get away with it. in that day, they would have taken her out and stoned her to death. That's why Joseph secretly tried to put her away. It was after God intervened by an angel that Joseph went ahead and married her. So you could look at those five women and see questionable things in their character. But God chose for us to see these five women in Jesus' genealogy. You are loved by God. He wants to use you in an amazing way. Beloved, what I'm trying to tell you, you are qualified. God has qualified you. You are accepted in the beloved. Woman, you are direct love. He loves you directly. Don't ever believe that you're not good enough or because of what you've been through. It doesn't matter. Look at these. When you think that your character may be questionable and you have done stuff and you're not worthy to do anything for God, just take a look at Matthew chapter 1 and look at these women. And do a study. Google them. Look, you know what I mean? Just go through your concordance and look at their lives. Okay? So one more thing I'm going to share with you is in His love and grace. In John chapter 19, when Jesus saw, now Jesus is hanging on the cross. You know, Jesus had 12 disciples. He could have left his mother with anybody that he chose. Okay? He could have left his mother with his brother James, but he didn't. Let's see who he left his mom with. When Jesus saw his mom standing there beside the disciple he loved, he said to her, "Dear woman, here's your son." And he said to the disciple, "Here's your mother." And from then on, the disciple took her into his home. What stand out to me about this disciple, John, is his name mean the Lord is gracious. We see grace. Five times in Scripture, in John chapter 13:23, John chapter 19:26, John chapter 20:2, John chapter 21:7, and John chapter 21:20. John is referred to as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Five times. Only in the book of John. Not in Matthew, not in Mark, not in Luke. So why in John, five times the number of grace, this disciple is referred to as the disciple whom Jesus loved? Did Jesus love John more than Matthew, Mark, Luke, and the rest? No. John, the man of grace, had a revelation of Christ's love for him. And he called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. When you get this revelation, you could call yourself, "I am the mother whom Jesus loved. I am the woman whom Jesus loved. I'm the man." It was the revelation that he had. Five times the number of grace. So when Jesus left his mom in the care of love and grace, he could have left her with anybody else. And the last thing he's saying concerning his mother is who to stay with. The one that had a revelation of his love and his grace. Wow. Everyone here, I know this is Mother's Day, happy Mother's Day. I want you to know that God loves you with his undying, never failing, unconditional love. Woman, mom, man, I want you to know that you are the crown of God's creation, the apple of his eye. What's the apple? The pupil, the center focus. I mean, day and night, God's focus is on you. You are the apple of his eye. You are marked by his love and the focus of all his affection. He'll never quit loving you. He loves you directly. He got a plan, a purpose for you. He said, "I know what I'm doing. I got it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you, plans to give you the future you hope for. If you doubt anything in life, fix your eyes on the love that God has for you. It's not about how much you love God. Real love is how much God loves you. Let that be your focus throughout the day. We love you. God bless you.